dead and we're back. This is episode 51 of the Taproom Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Well, it's been a week, man. It's been fun though. I mean, it's been a little bit busy. Work's been crazy. Trying to get, you know, stuff to post on Instagram and stuff like that while it's been busy. So, but yeah, it's been good. Week away from the Super Bowl. So yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. In the headlines and stuff like that. This episode is with Renhouse Brewing, Drew Poole, one of the founders of Renhouse. When I was out in Arizona a few weeks ago, got to talk to him. Super fun. Like, honestly, just a really, really nice guy. And their story was pretty awesome. There is a little bit of, I think most of the audio sounds fine. There is a couple times because we recorded outside. And you do hear some people like laughing in the background, and it does get a little loud at one point. I tried to clean it up as much as I could, but it was honestly really fun. So, I mean, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. And if you guys are in the Phoenix area, you have to go to this place. Every beer I had just freaking slapped. It was like honestly, it was really amazing. I'm actually going to have one today. I've been saving. Trust me, it's been tough to save because I've been wanting to drink it, especially a couple times when I've been kind of buzzed already. And I'm like, Dan, I just see it just staring at me in the fridge. But yeah, they were all freaking delicious. I'll put the timestamp in the description, for when the interview starts. Before I do that, crack a brewski. RIP to Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed. Obviously he's been in countless movies. He was in The Mandalorian. He was an NFL linebacker as well. So RIP to Carl Weathers. Condolences to the family. All right, but let's crack open this first beer. This one is called Natural Range. It's a West Coast IPA coming in at 7 even. It's a really cool can. I mean, I've posted it on the thing and it's going to be in the reel as well. But honestly, super cool. Like, it's a really cool can. And this one, when I tried it, I tried it during the interview, and Drew probably saw my face. I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, it was really, really good. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to crack this sucker open. There we go. Let's get a old trusty Superman glass. Oh yeah. Get her done. Oh yeah. Super, super clear. And you know, and it only being 7%, you know, they're freaking crushable, man. But the can artwork is just, it's a beautiful can. And oh gosh, it smells like the aroma in there is just, oh man, that's out of this world. Man, if you gave me, I don't even know. I don't even, you can give me those the rest of my life and I'd be pretty happy. Drew and, you know, the gang over there, the brewers are just killing it. I don't throw out, you know, big fat tens as much as I used to. But this West Coast for me is definitely a big fat 10. Man, there's times when, like I said, I've been wanting to drink it. So I've been like kind of just waiting and waiting to record this intro. And I've been super excited about it. So I'm going to crush this one. I'm going to go over to Noble later today. They have some new beers coming out. So there will be a What's New at Noble segment at the end of this episode, after the interview. Also going to be recording a small little feature, Instagram feature for Big Rick's Barbecue. That will be included in at the end of next week's episode, which will be episode 52. So that'll complete, the year. One full year of episodes. That is going to be with Mike Crea from Unsung and Jimmy from Noble. It was kind of like a brewer's roundtable. It was actually really cool and thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll get more into that, at the end of in the outro. But it was really fun. So that'll be tacked onto that. Let's jump into some headlines. Raheem Morris going to the Falcons. Seahawks got Mike McDonald from the Ravens. You know, seems like, you know, good hires. Mike McDonald's a defensive coach. We'll kind of see how that all works to see what he does to get his staff together and all that sort of stuff. Still weird that Carroll is not going to be there. But yeah, I mean, we'll see if Carroll ends up, maybe he ends up going somewhere, you know, maybe he's not done coaching and he goes somewhere next year. I think the big thing though, like some of the biggest, well, the two biggest surprises for me are Belichick and Vrabel not coaching this year. I mean, I think Vrabel's a great coach and obviously Bill Belichick, you know, it speaks for himself. But I'm just kind of shocked. Like Raheem Morris got that Falcons job, and I think everybody kind of thought that that was going to be where Belichick ended up. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, some things play out the way they do. I mean, and even with the, I think like the Commanders thing, like I think a lot of people felt like Belichick was going to be the front runner and was going to get a job right away. Now I'm, I guess we're hearing talks, excuse me, that he's going to be an analyst on TV. So I'm sure he would be great at that. Yeah, I'm just like, honestly, kind of, I'm just really surprised. I mean, there's been what, so many different head coaching, you know, hires and changes and stuff like that. Cause I mean, obviously with Morris and that stuff, and then who else went where? I forgot. I had like a whole list. Oh yeah. So we had Dan Quinn's over with, you know, the Commanders, Raheem Morris, Falcons, Dave Canellis, from to the Panthers, McDonald's Seahawks, obviously Harbaugh. And Harbaugh's getting $16 million. I was like, holy shit. Obviously Antonio Pierce, you know, with the Raiders, Jared Mayo, with the Patriots, and Brian Callahan for the Titans. So 8 new head coaches this year, for different teams. So that's, you know, that's interesting. It's just going to be after next week, it's going to be a long, dark time until some football comes back. We do get a little bit of spring ball, you know, when it comes to like SC and stuff like that, but that's just, you know, just a tease. And so is the NFL draft and all that. And that's going to be interesting too, because I mean, the Bears kind of hold all the cards right now with that first pick and Caleb. But I mean, I really like Drake May too. I think Drake May is a good quarterback. Jaden Daniels, I think, is a good quarterback. Maybe not like as polished maybe, but I mean, I still think he's, you know, phenomenal. Yeah, I'm going to have another drink of this beer. So we have the Super Bowl next week. That should be, I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, I know, was it then they played in 2020? The Niners were up big. And then, you know, obviously the Chiefs kind of came back. Well, didn't kind of. They came back and won that game. But I want to see what the spread is. I have it. Oh, I had it right here. Let's take a look. Oh, and of course, now. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, well. Oh, well. I'll figure out the spread after. But I know it was minimal. So it wasn't anything crazy. But I know, I believe the Niners were favored in the game. Let's see. Yep. Okay. So the Niners are favored by 2. I was able to pull it up. Sorry about that. But yeah. So it's at 3:30. I mean, was it Mahomes and them, just when they're underdogs, they just don't lose. So if I was going to bet, I would take either I would just take the Chiefs outright. Not sure what the money line is on that, but the over-under is 47.5. Chiefs defense has been playing pretty decent. And, you know, the Niners, you know, their defense kind of speaks for itself. But they've been giving up a lot of points in the first half, you know, I mean, in the playoffs, I mean. And then had to come back. If they get down to the Chiefs, I mean, I feel like you could have done that against a young Packers team. I feel like you can do that against a Lions team that it's their first time in the playoffs, their first time in the NFC Championship, and maybe ever, I can't remember, but I just know it'd been, you know, obviously forever since they were in the playoffs. So I feel like you can do that against those kind of teams, you know, but I don't think you can do that against the Chiefs. If they get down early, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I think it's going to be a close game, but I would not be surprised if they got down early, they aren't able to dig themselves out of that hole. As well as Brock Purdy is playing, as great as Christian McCaffrey is, Mahomes is just so hard to get down. You know, he can't, like, he's not like, I mean, Jordan Love, you know, they didn't really, you know, they didn't really pressure him all that much. And even Jared Goff, you know, they did get to him, but Jared Goff's obviously not as mobile. So, but Mahomes is just so hard to get to take down. So, I mean, I think if they want to be able to do that, they're going to have to get him on the ground. But yeah. All right. Next week, what else I got next week? For the Super Bowl, I'm going to give out I'll tell you guys the menu for next week. I'm going to be making, pizzas. So I make the dough, roll it out and toss it in the, we have a attachment for the smoker. It's like a pizza oven that goes inside that attaches to the smoker. So I'll be making pizzas. So I'm going to be absolutely covered in flour. I promise it's flour. So I'll be making pizzas. I'm going to be making like a queso type dip that I always make. Also going to make fried jalapeno coins. What else I got on the menu for next week? Probably some like little smokies and stuff like that. But the big thing is always the pizza that always goes. Oh, potato skins. I'm going to be making potato skins. So it's going to get wild. Probably going to weigh. I'm probably going to, you know, put on a few pounds after all the beer and all that. So that should be fun. But all right. I'm going to shut up now. I hope you guys enjoy the interview with Drew. Make sure you check them out at Wren House Brewing on Instagram. Like I said, and if you're in the area, like I've been to quite a few breweries out there. Oso, I love, but definitely check out Wren House. The beers are phenomenal. It's cool how they converted an old bakery into a brewery. So it's pretty kick ass. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Stay tuned for the What's New at Noble segment. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room. I'm your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today, Drew Poole from Wren House Brewing out in Phoenix, Arizona. Botched that, of course. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You guys, you have a pretty badass little spot over here.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's... If you're familiar with Phoenix, it's definitely a place that is a little off the beaten path. You know, we're kind of close to the airport. It's down on 24th Street in Thomas, not necessarily, popular area, popular neighborhood, but, okay. But yeah, I mean, it works for us. It's a cool little spot.
That's awesome. I mean, I love the whole vibe in there. Love the merch. That's pretty awesome. And we're having a couple beers here. I'm drinking the Big Spill.
Yeah.
And it's a Pilsner. It smells delicious. And what are you drinking?
Valley beer. Awesome. Yeah. So Big Spill has got a fun little story to it. It was like our, one of our first lagers that we made. And, one of our brewers at the time actually, was cleaning the brewery and dumping tanks and cleaning tanks. And, he accidentally started dumping our Pilsner, and it was like literally halfway down the drain when we realized he was dumping the wrong tank.
Oh no.
So Big Spill. Yeah. Big Spill Pils.
There you go. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
And, that's honestly delicious, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's crisp, clean, refreshing, super clear. That's, you guys killed it on that one.
Thank you.
And how long has Wren House been around?
Yeah, so we're coming up on 9 years. So we'll celebrate 9 years being open in June.
Okay, yeah. That's awesome.
So we opened. I think it's a mark of pride that we opened before the haze craze.
Yeah,
I know the East Coast was still doing their thing and Heady Topper existed, but
yeah,
haze hadn't been a thing. So when we opened, our flagship beer now that we have, Spellbinder, didn't exist until later in 2017 when kind of the haze craze started picking up.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, yeah, I feel like hazies, I mean, they did, you know, obviously it got pretty wild there for a little bit.
Yeah, it got wild. That's for sure.
I mean, when you one thing I always look for in a brewery is the first thing I'll always try is either their house pilsner or their lager, because if those are done well, the rest of their beer is probably going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, they are hard to execute. They're very simple. There's nothing to hide behind, as exactly. Brewers say, with IPAs, I don't think you can hide behind IPAs either, but, you can hop the hell out of something and, cover a multitude of sins probably.
No, for sure.
If you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Could you tell us kind of your craft beer, your journey in craft beer? How did it all come about?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me personally, So I still have my day job. So I work in tech. And I've been working in tech for a long time. But as part of my tech job, I moved up to Portland, Oregon for a little bit. And got to know some brewery owners up there. A lot of great places that are now closed, unfortunately, like Alameda and Burnside, and some cool little like 10 barrel tap rooms kind of downtown Portland. Not really downtown, but like northeast, southeast, that sort of thing. And being from Phoenix and being a, you know, big craft beer guy at the time, and still am, but I was really into it. 15 years ago, I was like, man, Phoenix would be amazing if we could open something like this down in Phoenix. So we moved back down to Phoenix to start a family, met my business partner, Bill, where we work at our tech jobs, and, found brewer, Preston, who was brewing at Big Sky in Montana.
Okay.
And he came down and started this with us. And, we've been brewing ever since. Now we have a production brewery up in Prescott, Arizona. We do like 7,000-8,000 barrels out of there.
Oh, wow.
We do like 2,000 here, in 24th Street. And then we have a restaurant in Ahwatukee, which is kind of like South Phoenix. And we're opening another place, later this year.
That's awesome. And where's the new place going to be?
It's in Paradise Valley. So the former Paradise Valley Mall. If you're from Phoenix, you know where that is, but yeah. It's like, one of those old big malls that they basically tore down and they're redeveloping. So we're going to open like a really cool, like almost like British inspired, pub there.
Okay. That's cool. Is that near Oso?
So Oso does have a location up on Shea and Tatum, which is very nearby.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone I met there was obviously really nice. And, I love and anytime I can go somewhere else or go to a different city or visit somewhere else and try to find, a brewery out here. And I'm sure as hell glad I got to come down and talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So they make some killer stuff. They've got a ton of locations. They still have, like their nano brewery, it's kind of like Arcadia area. Mm-hmm. And then they have a production brewery in Gilbert. They make a lot of beer. So we collab with them all the time. They make some really good stuff.
That's cool. Well, next time I'm out here, if you guys have a collab going on, I definitely want to come try it.
Yeah, we do this pretty sweet Doppelbock with them every year that, we actually naturally lager in some, oak barrels.
Oh, wow.
And that's always a crowd pleaser. It's pretty delicious. It's funny. It's like a style that's definitely old world that nobody really makes, like a traditional Doppelbock.
Yeah.
But when we make it, people love it.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, because that's something you never see on on a beer menu ever, really.
Right.
Yeah.
You go to a craft beer bar and find a Doppelbock. Yeah, not very much.
Yeah, that's awesome though. I mean, and those are the kind of like styles that on the kind of places I like to seek out too, because like when you can find something like that you don't see very often, I even feel that way with about like black IPAs or reds and stuff like that, because you don't, as good as they are, for whatever reason, you just don't see them on the menu.
Well, I think the main reason is they don't sell.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to be a brewery and experiment all these different styles because a lot of times they just, you make them and then they're really hard to sell, right?
Yeah.
So, we've made a lot of pub ales in the past that, sit longer than you want.
Of course.
Or red ales, don't really sell well. But we still make them because I think we have a big enough clientele that likes trying new stuff that we can move through a 10 barrel batch of something weird.
That's awesome. But I mean, like I said, I love that because when you can find a place that has that, it's like, that's where I'm going to go. And,
right.
And I always feel like, when it comes to, obviously there's a lot of, in the craft beer scene, there's a lot of different breweries out there, but when you make a quality product, people will find you.
Yeah.
And that's, when you can, if I can get the word out, or if, just to support or help, help the business, that's what I love to do.
Yeah. And I think, for us, a lot of the great, one of the great ways to kind of play up some of those kind of esoteric or weird styles, when you really try brewing them and you're passionate about it and you win something maybe at like JBF as an example, we just won bronze for our ESB, which again
awesome.
Is another Slept On style. You can then tell your customers, you're like, hey, yeah, we made an ESB, and you might be asking, what the hell is an ESB? But yeah. By the way, it's been recognized as one of the best in the country. So, you know, maybe risk your $5-6 on a pint and try it out.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, so, you know, it takes, you know, that them trying it to almost, because, you know, a lot of times when you walk into a, you know, a craft brewery or anything like that, people are like, well, I don't really drink beer.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes they find their gateway drug and and then they're hooked forever. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of lagers, I mean, I think that's so true even in Phoenix. A lot of people will come in wanting hazy IPAs. Mm-hmm, they'll come in, they'll drink hazy IPAs. But when they come in more and more and more, they want to try something new.
Of course.
So they'll try lagers and they'll be like, wow, this is actually good. You know, I'm used to drinking, you know, and I know it's like cliche and we've been around long enough that it shouldn't be this way. But people that are like, oh, yeah, I only drink hazy IPAs, but, you know, I really like Valley beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's much better than Budweiser or whatever. And you're like, yeah,
of course.
Yeah. No, I'm glad glad you finally tried it. I'm glad you're on board now.
Yeah. That's cool, man. And I love that. I mean, that's, you know, what more, like, if you can get somebody out of their comfort zone a little bit and, you know, they can try something different, because sometimes I feel like we get so set in our ways and the stuff that we like, we don't want to venture out and try new things. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. And I think, it was funny. I was just having this conversation, with somebody, in the, like, a craft brewers group of, you know, some of the trends that are affecting, you know, the microbrewery industry right now, and a lot of breweries closing and that sort of thing. And, you know, personally, I think that there's, you know, there's a lot of breweries that are just starting, or breweries that are doing, you know, one-off crazy styles and whatever. And I think the customer is not really willing to spend or gamble $20 on a four pack.
Yeah.
From a brewery they've never heard of, on a style they've never heard of.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take that 20. And, you know, maybe I'm going to spend 15 of it on, you know, a craft beer, and then I'm going to pocket my other five or something. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, tight times, right? I mean, you know, there's inflation and everything costs crazy. You know, I was at a beer store the other day, and it's amazing that, you know, Arizona, we get a lot of beers from out of state coming here because it's a big market and there's not a ton of breweries. So we get everybody from, like, Maine Beer Company just launched here, and you have all these, like, Equilibrium and all these crazy, like, East Coast breweries that are coming to Arizona. But I mean, I think a four pack of, like, Equilibrium is like $28 or something for, like, a hazy IPA, which is, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Oh, for sure.
That's like, I mean, it used to be like a dinner, like, you could spend $28 on dinner, but. But yeah, so I think people are just getting more, you know, picky with what they buy.
Yeah, I feel like it was when you said the $28 that was a dinner. I was like, that's pretty much what I spend at In-N-Out on myself.
Well, I mean, I guess you can get there. Yeah, a few 4x4s.
Oh yeah, that's my go-to. So, like, you know, opening Rent House, like, when did that kind of become a reality for you? Like, when was it just like, oh, we're gonna do this? Like, this is happening, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be lying if I said that there weren't multiple times, you know, we were basically ready to throw in the towel. I mean, I think it's hard. I mean, it's hard starting a business. It's hard. You know, my partner and I, we didn't have any industry experience, you know, so you're going to banks and, you know, you're trying to convince bankers to give you money. And they're very conservative, right? And they're very like, conservative with their investments and their money. They want like guaranteed returns and all the stuff. So it's,
of course,
you're trying to convince somebody to take a gamble on you. So that's really hard. So we put together a business plan. You know, I think I was like 28 when we started. So
yeah,
I thought I knew everything, but I definitely didn't. You know, just, it's like literally putting one foot in front of another, just like having that end goal in mind and just focusing on the end result and just keep pushing. I mean, there, even in our build out, there were multiple times where things happened to us that we could have just closed and said, you know, fuck this. Yeah. Let's not do it.
Wipe, like, your hands of it and walk away.
I mean, we had a brand that we got a cease and desist before we opened.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that was one thing. And then in the midst of all that, we were basically out of money and trying to pass inspection with, you know, the county health department and the fire department and occupancy and all these like legal body, you know, these
red tape and all that
government bodies, right? Yeah. And they would come in, and depending on which inspector you got on which day of the week, you would get a different answer. And
yeah,
I remember
they were having a bad day.
Yeah, vividly, we had one inspector come in that was notoriously a hard ass, looked around our brewery and said, you know, this is a food production facility. It needs to be up to food production standards, which meant we had to do all these crazy things that we hadn't done. Wow. One of which was in putting fire sprinklers in our brewery. And I actually had to write a letter to the governor and say, you know, if you make us do this, we're going to close and you're going to kill a small business.
Wow.
So they waived it. So, I mean, stuff like that, like,
yeah,
it's crazy. It's so hard to open a small business. It's tough.
And it's crazy because, you know, small businesses, you know, it's like the backbone. I mean, like, who doesn't want to support that? And, but I mean, especially I feel like even 9 years ago, so that would have been what, 2014?
Yep.
Even then, I mean, I feel like craft beer, I mean, it had started to get bigger, but it hadn't like exploded yet. Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure that made it even harder because, yeah, I know sometimes just even trying to get into a certain community,
yeah,
like people are like, oh, what does this mean? What do you mean craft beer? Like, yeah, like what is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, and I don't want to like toot our own horn by any means, but like, I think we did pave the way for a lot of other small breweries that are opening. I mean, just some examples so people don't think I'm like,
no, that's awesome,
an asshole. But like literally, so when we opened, you know, not to get super boring with this stuff, but
no,
like,
you're fine.
There's like all these like various rules and regulations, right? And zoning's like the big thing. So almost all the breweries before we opened were all in industrial areas, like industrial zoned areas, which is why you see them at air parks, you see them by train tracks, you see them in warehouse places, especially in California. You see them in industrial areas, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Like San Diego, it's all industrial areas.
Yeah, definitely.
And we were like, we don't want to be in an industrial area. So we found this spot that we're currently sitting at, and I was looking at the history, and it looked... it was a bakery, and I was Googling and I found stuff on the City of Phoenix website that said bakeries are analogous or whatever. They're the same as industrial use cases. So I basically wrote a letter to the city and said, we're going to open a brewery at this location. It was zoned commercial C2. We're going to open a brewery here because it used to be a bakery, and that's basically the same thing as industrial.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, sure thing. It's approved. So now
that's awesome.
In Phoenix, breweries can open in C2 everywhere. Like, there's breweries now opening in C2 places all over the place.
How cool is that that you did that?
So that was cool. And then we also were one of the first to, maybe the first to can. So we did mobile canning. So we brought in a mobile canner and we packaged 16-ounce cans because, again, going back to rules and regulations, there was the law at the time said something about packaging for beer to go, and microbreweries weren't allowed to do that basically when we opened. We thought it was a gray area, so we did it anyways. And we actually had other breweries write in to the city complaining about us, trying to like get us in trouble for doing that.
Jeez.
Turned out the city didn't care. It was a gray area. And now all the small breweries around town can package in cans to go, right? So like little awesome things like that where we were like, you know, fuck it, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And we're going to like try to find gray areas, you know, helped us out. And I think it helped out a lot of other small breweries that have opened since. But, you know, I don't want to take all the credit for it because obviously, like, I, you know, opening a business is fucking really crazy hard. Mm-hmm. So, like, props to everybody who's done that. But,
yeah,
you know, I think part of it is, you know, just doing what you think is right and just like pushing and making things happen.
Yeah. But honestly, though, like, I mean, you know, kudos to you guys because, I mean, when I've talked to people, especially like, you know, like I mentioned before, how getting into a community, sometimes that's so hard. It's that first person or like that first, you know, business owner that does do it, that does pave the way for everybody else. Because at first, I mean, like I said, a lot of people don't know. They're like, what is craft beer? What is a craft brewery? Like, why are you trying to come in, you know, and open this thing? Because they just didn't, you know, back then they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
They didn't know what it was and what it could be. So, you know,
yeah.
Toot your own horn, man. Kudos.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, our whole, you know, mantra here, at Ren is we just focus on making the best beer we possibly can. And we let the beer kind of speak for itself. We're not one of these like big flashy, you know, hype breweries that make good beer and everybody talks about it and everybody wants to trade for it. A lot of people still haven't, you know, they're like, who the hell is this Ren House, you know, sort of thing. But again, you know, part of our goal is to win a lot of national and international awards and be recognized for it. And then I think it's more like that sort of quiet, you know, like motto that we have of like, let's just keep our heads down and make good beer. I think that starts speaking for itself. And, you know, I think people respect that, eventually. So, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. We don't care for the, you know, fame or everybody knowing about us as long as we, you know, think we make great stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's, when I mentioned it earlier, like when you make quality product, people are going to find it. And, you know, like I looked up what are the best breweries in, you know, before I reached out, like what are the best breweries in Phoenix? And you guys are right there. And then I went to your Instagram and I was like, holy crap, that looks good. Holy crap, this looks good. Holy crap, that looks good. And it was just like, man, I got to get over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're happy with where we're at. We're always trying to get better. You know, we're constantly, you know, our entire like 5-year plan or our growth plan, we don't really have one. It's more just like, let's just keep growing organically. Let's keep making good beer. Let's keep winning accounts one by one. Let's be at places we like to eat at. Let's be at places we like to stay at. And just do it like the old fashioned way. So that's kind of what we're doing.
Now, what was it like when you guys opened? When you guys finally opened the doors?
It was stressful for sure. I think I had a newborn baby at home, which was also interesting. I mean, we were dumb enough that when we opened, I remember like the AC wasn't working and Phoenix in June.
Oh, geez.
You know, people are like dying outside. So we didn't change the filters in our tap room. So the filters were clogged up. The AC wasn't working.
Oh, no.
So it was like, you know, little shit like that, that now 9 years in, like you focus on the little stuff because it's like little things like not changing a filter that like can drastically like affect your business.
Yeah.
So anyways, that happened. I think we flew through a ton of beer, which is great. I mean, we definitely had a lot of growing pains through the years. You know, we've grown up our production from, I think we did like 500 barrels first year, and now we're, you know, out of here. We basically max out at 2000 barrels. It's a 10 barrel system, very small. And then, you know, we have Prescott, which is now a 3-vessel, 30 barrel system.
Okay.
Jake Ainsworth runs it for us. He was a head brewer at Smog City for like 7 years.
Yeah.
So he's awesome. We have a great crew. We're up to like 45 employees. So, I mean, it's like, you know, again, we're just taking it one day at a time. When we opened, it was crazy. I drove, our first accounts when we started distributing, I would throw a keg in the back of my Jetta and drive it to an account. And I vividly remember driving into an account, selling a keg, and the bar owner basically laughing in my face, like, because we were trying to charge, I think at the time it was like $160 for a half barrel.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you know, who do you guys think you are? Like, I don't pay more than $140 for a half barrel of anything. And this, you know, 2015. And I'm like, well, you know, I think we make pretty good beer. Like, try it for yourself. And then I had to basically eat my own words multiple times after that when, you know, we would make a beer and, you know, we weren't super proud about it. I'd already sold it. We had to go buy it back and go, you know, basically like carry our tail between our legs. But that's part of it too. I think it's standing behind our quality and saying, if it's bad, we're going to fix it. If it's bad, we're not going to can it. We're not going to package it. We're going to dump it. And I think at our size of being like 9,000 barrels, that's hard to do. You know, you're making, you know, you got a 100-barrel batch of something in the tank and you're like, yeah, we don't think of this as that great. You know, you got to dump it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's, I mean, those kind of sacrifices, I mean, you kind of have to make when you're doing something like that. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, it's got to be, it's tough, you know? Yeah. But also, I mean, you want to put out a quality product, like, you know, we talked about. So
right.
That's, you know, one of the best things. I was curious about the name because I would say, no, like the Wren, the bird and stuff like that. But it was like, where did that come from for you guys?
So I mentioned we got a cease and desist right before we opened.
Yeah.
So we were named something else that I will not mention because okay. I don't want to get sued.
No worries.
But we, you know, Wren House, it was a combination of us being like literally in a bungalow here on 24th Street. It's literally like an old house. And then, you know, the cactus wren is state bird,
yeah.
Arizona. So it was it made sense at the time. I think it's worked out really well. I think it's pretty, I wouldn't say iconic, but it's memorable. Like people yeah. remember it when they hear it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's why as soon as I saw it, I saw the logo. I mean, like, you know, just like the font, you know, that you guys use, you know, for the wording and everything like that. You know, everything looks really cool. And I really love this building that you guys are in. As soon as I pulled up, I was like, man, this is badass. Like, this is cool because I'm, you know.
Well, we've had a lot of people that have said it's, you know, run down in a shitty neighborhood. And
no, but to me, like, it looks great. Like, yeah. I mean, and I love this back patio you guys have. I love the inside. I love, yeah. like, you know, all the wood and everything like that. I mean, to me, like, this would be, if I lived here, this would be my Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be here all the time.
Oh, we definitely have. One of the things that it was hard to do at the time, but we were like, you know, no TVs, right?
Yeah.
So we have no TVs. A lot of people that come in here that are regulars, I mean, like, again, it sounds cliche, but people like make friends here and they like
yeah.
make friends for life here. Like, I can't name how many people I've personally met, but that become friends with, you know, other people that come into the bar and they're like best friends mm-hmm. and they like hang out all the time outside the bar and they're like, yeah, we met at Wren House and,
yeah.
I don't know. It's cool to see that happening. It's like a, you know, communal space.
Yeah. And one thing I've always wanted this show to be is like one dude sitting across from another dude or sitting across from a female or whatever or anything, you know, just being able to have a sitting down at a brewery, having a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always thought this would be. Cause I mean, maybe you saw each other and you're like, oh, we're drinking the same beer or we ordered the same beer and you
yeah.
just gonna go off to the races
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. And I try to get behind the bar as much as I can. It's not a lot lately, but I would regularly come in and either bartend or just jump behind the bar and talk to people.
Yeah.
That are coming in. And like one of the collabs that we're doing recently, we're doing a new series with the National Forest Foundation, and it's because literally around the corner we have one of the National Forest Service buildings.
Okay.
I don't know why it's down here, but like Tonto National Forest has like a ranger station town by our tap room, and they come in all the time and they're like,
okay.
Hey, you know, there's this huge fire that you know, basically destroyed like 100,000 saguaros.
Wow.
You know, we're trying to raise money for it, and we're like, why don't we like make a beer and like, you know, donate a portion of the proceeds to like, you know, buy some seeds or saplings for saguaros and go plant them all over like this, you know, fire area. So it's like stuff like that, that you meet people that you would never even imagine. Like we have game and fish people that come here all the time. We have government officials. We have people that work for like the Phoenix Suns, people
yeah.
that work, like all this stuff that you would like never even like think about.
Yeah.
They're just like hanging out in the tap room, and then you like run across them, you're like,
yeah,
you know, holy shit, oh well, you know, like how can we, I don't know, collaborate, like grow a relationship, you know, that kind
for
of
thing. Sure. And honestly, like how great is like the craft beer community? Like at least I feel like, I mean, since I've, you know, started doing this show, before this I had a, you know, another show with my buddies, you know, we did 100 episodes, but it was all about just, you know, talking about craft beer and stuff like that, like or reviewing craft beer. But like since I started this one where I'm talking to brewers or owners and stuff like that, like everybody's so welcoming. Like everybody's just like, nobody's just like, and people love to collab, and it's not like that in every industry. I feel like there's so many out there where it's like, no, this is my corner, this is my thing, get away.
Yeah.
Where in craft beer, it's not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the industry is great that way. You know, it's going to be a really interesting year. You know, I think, you know, we've seen tons of stuff, even just like in the last 2 weeks of like breweries closing or, you know, Green Sheik buying Bagby and like all this crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of change this year. But I agree. I mean, I think beer people, like when you run into them at GABF or whatever event, you know, listen event, I think it's just like, you know, down to earth, kind of like almost blue collar mentality of just for like, sure. You know, we make a product, we're passionate about the product we make. People enjoy the product we make. Hyper local is super important.
Yeah.
Like people care that it's made down the street. People care that it's made there in their city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think those things are really special, and I don't think those things really change.
Oh, for sure. And they're proud to call you their brewery.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, like what's better than that? Like, and you have like the community behind you and stuff like that, but then you can also like, you know, the, even like I was looking at your can artwork and stuff like that. I was like thinking of the kind of pictures I could take with your cans and stuff like that. Who does your merch and your can artwork and stuff like that?
So Lauren Dickinson is, she's actually our head brewer's wife, Preston. So I've been working with her since we opened, so we'll just bounce ideas off each other and, you know,
okay.
Do can labels and various, design things. I mean, we release probably 2 new beers a week. So
it's, awesome.
It's a lot of work, right? It's, so a lot of it's inspired by, you know, nature, Arizona, you know, things that we see around that are important to us. But we do a lot of, you know, international styles mm-hmm. as well. Like Prosnobrano, which is like our house Czech pills.
I didn't even see the Czech pills. I'm probably gonna have to check
one. So Prosnobrano is like literally I think it translates to powder tower. It's this old like gunpowder tower in the middle of Prague. So that, you know, that's like a inspiration for one of our beers. And Mustek, which is named after like a, you know, a subway station in Prague. So we do stuff like that, right?
Wow. That's cool. I mean, and like, yeah, when I was looking at the one, the snakes, the one with snakes
above
on it.
Snakes.
Yeah. Oh, cause I was telling my buddy, cause we're going to go hiking, I think at Pinnacle on Sunday, Sunday morning. I was like, well, I'm going to get that can. I'm going to buy a 4-pack of that can. I'm going to take the one can with me and I want to find a shot with that can, because I, with that backdrop, I'm sure it would just look amazing.
Yeah. And Arizona's a cool state in that we like the geography is so crazy. Like obviously we're in the valley, it's hot as hell like where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a Sonoran desert. We've got amazing wildlife, and then you drive an hour and a half north to our other brewery up in Prescott, and it's a mile high basically. So it's like the same altitude as like Denver.
Yeah.
So we have like, you know, pronghorn, like antelope up there and stuff like that. I mean, so the geography of Arizona gets pretty crazy. But anyways, that influences a lot of our designs as well.
Yeah. I mean, nature. I mean, I love that kind of stuff too. Like when you can put together like I don't know if you do, so I can't assume, but do you like Pure Project?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
like any, like all of their, like, cause they usually like incorporate like some kind of like either like water or like any type of element or nature and stuff like that into their stuff. And I love that, but I love your guys' can artwork because it's like almost like those, like, well, at least on the snakes one, almost like those pastel kind of colors.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it just, one of my great grandma, she was from New Mexico. So it was always like, it was about the turquoise and stuff like that. So seeing those colors, it just like, brought me back to when I was little.
Yeah, we definitely have like a design aesthetic that you know, we keep up, that Lauren's really great at. But yeah, I mean, the colors are exciting, and we try to be creative. You know, it's hard to like come up with something new every week.
Course,
and it's like we have like a running list of names and stuff. But but yeah, it's fun. And some of it's easy. We have a brewery cat, Gravy. Running around.
I saw her walking around. She was cute.
Yeah. So he's part of the Working Cat program from the Arizona Humane Society. So they give you cats at your business to keep the rodent population at bay.
There you go, yeah. It's a feral cat.
But now he's like a house cat. I mean,
that's
awesome. He's lazy. He's getting fat. But anyways, tomorrow we have Gravy Day, which is
nice.
Where we're releasing a beer. We have merch. We have the Humane Society coming, like an adoption event, stuff like that. So, you know, speaking of like naming beers and stuff, that stuff's easy. Like, you know, it comes to you naturally. Like, oh yeah, gravy. Let's make a gravy IPA.
Yeah.
It's fun just, you know, kind of telling your story through your beer labels and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, because honestly, like, I feel like counter work is obviously super important because you can have the best beer out there. But if it's not like, you know, if you go to like a craft beer liquor store, and you see like this can that looks kind of, you know, not to say like plain Jane or anything like that, but then you have something that just pops.
Yeah.
Like, what's that person going to grab?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's so hard now. It's like, I don't know, some of the craft beer stores you go to, and I can imagine in California, it's like this, like crazy, but a lot of states, like everything pops. And it's like, when you walk in, it's like, you're looking at a case and it's like, everything's popping. 100%. It's like, how do you make a decision?
That's so true.
Like everything is bright and shiny and looks good. Right. So then you gotta like investigate. It's kind of hard being a consumer nowadays.
Yeah.
You got to know your stuff.
Yeah, it was like the old days with like cable. Like, well, when you had like, what, you had like 11, 12 channels before, and then cable came around, and then you had like access to over 150 channels or whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah.
You just watch Nickelodeon and Food Network and ESPN.
Definitely. I did want to ask you too, because one thing I always love to ask anybody I have on was, because we talked about like how you got into craft beer, but was there a specific like craft, like, well, beer or from a brewery that got you, or you were like, wait, what? Because, you know, sometimes people have like that kind of like that epiphany kind of thing. Like, I didn't know beer could be this kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a lot of those moments for me. I mean, I would say when I knew I wanted to make it a business, was in Portland. And it was like the differences between, you know, drinking something from Cascade, which is, you know, notoriously sour, like overly sour. They do like a pumpkin sour every season. And I know people are so polar on pumpkin beers, but that, like having that and then walking down the street and having a gigantic brewing like West Coast IPA, you're like, oh my God, like the range of styles is so big. And both of these beers are stellar in their own ways.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it makes you like, when I was drinking those beers at local places in Portland, you just like feel part of the place. You know, you're like, hell yeah, I want like a bitter West Coast IPA sitting out, you know, in a bar when it's dark and rainy outside.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, it's like drizzling rain for like weeks on end. You're like, this feels good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
I want to be part of that. I want to create that sort of like sense of place, right?
That's cool. I mean, and because we all have ours, like, you know, our stories. Mine was like the first one I think I ever had was like I want to say it was a Double Bastard.
No, yeah.
But I was like, I remember the first time I tried it, I was like, what is this and why am I drinking?
Yeah.
but then you like, you kind of like, I went to like the Stone, just like the Stone, regular Stone IPA. Then I was like, oh, And then the Arrogant Bastard kind of grew on me, and then the Double Bastard and everything else. But at first I remember I was like, what is this?
Yeah. No, I know. I'm definitely one of those people that I'm always trying new beers, new styles, new breweries, new whatever, for sure. Just because I want to like, not only like expand my palate, but like, it's like a scavenger hunt. You're just like always finding something new. And it's like, the next beer might be your like almost favorite beer that you've like ever had in your life. And I think that's really exciting from a craft beer point of view. There's so many breweries doing so many good things and good
100%.
Beers. Like my family and I just went to Maine, this last summer, and pissing rain. I know it's like a theme. It was like downpour rain.
Yeah.
And we were driving out, I think we were going to some like Oh, we were blueberry picking. So we were out like picking blueberries, and then all of a sudden it was like downpour rain. And I'm like looking at my Google Maps. I'm like, where am I going to go? And I've got like, you know, a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old and my mother-in-law and my wife. And I'm like, oh shit, Oxbow is like up the, it's like 10 minutes away. Wow. I'm like, how am I going to convince them to go to Oxbow? And I'm like, hey, so I want to make a stop real quick. There's a place up the road. You know, I know it's raining like crazy. Maybe we can just go inside and sit, whatever. And
let the rain die down.
Yeah. Let the rain die down, which doesn't really happen in Maine, but it was like, you go into Oxbow and they only had like 5 beers on tap. But it was like one of those like surreal moments where it's like you're the only people in this little tap room. It's like a log cabin in the woods sort of vibe.
Yeah.
But the beers were just like mind blowing. Like I was drinking like a table saison, and you know my wife and kids were playing like you know Scrabble or something because they have a bunch of board games. And I'm like, this is like blowing me away. It's like blowing my mind. That's like awesome. How good this was. So I think that's like so special just about the beer industry in general. It's like you can have so many like, you know, kind of unique styles, unique beers, and again, communicate that like sense of place that makes you really special.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite style is, would you like, do you like all styles or is it like, are you more like lean towards like the lagers, pilsner, stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely, like if I were to have a desert island beer or something, it would definitely be like a Helles, like, just like a good Bavarian Helles. I just really appreciate the simplicity. It's just a little sweet enough, a little bitter enough, very sessionable that you can drink a million of them and still enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely passionate about, you know, German lagers, I think is like my wheelhouse.
That's awesome. Do you like stouts at all or anything like that?
Oh yeah. I mean, I drink everything. So don't get me wrong. I mean, I will never turn down a beer of any sort. So yeah, I like stouts. We make a lot of them here. We do a big barrel aging program. We have, you know, a membership club and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I appreciate a good stout. I think for us, we try to balance our stouts. So even if we do like a vanilla imperial stout that's barrel aged and like, you know, bourbon or rum or whatever, it's not going to be like overly sweet or overly anything. It's going to be, you know, we try to make them well-rounded.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do have a couple more things I wanted to ask you, but before, is it okay if we grab another beer?
Please.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. Got a fresh natural range. It's a West Coast IPA. And this one, you said it was at 7%, I believe?
Yeah, it's like 6-7, I think.
6-7, awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the, you know, great things about having... you know, well, I mean, making a lot of styles, but also having Jake, you know, up in Prescott, especially as, you know, he loves making, you know, really nice, clean West Coast IPAs.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Man, that is. And you guys can this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to be buying a couple of 4-packs.
No, it's been great. I think we've seen definitely the uptick in West Coast IPAs. Mm-hmm. We have a beer called Renovation that we make. It's one of our cores. So it's a West Coast IPA.
Okay.
And it's been picking up quite a bit.
Awesome. And I feel like, you know, like we talked about hazies, but I feel like lagers, pilsners, you know, West Coast, like I feel like you're, like they never went away, obviously, but they have, like you're seeing them, like a lot more of them, I feel like, on menus where before you saw a lot more hazies on menus, but now you're seeing a little bit more like the uptick or it's like coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they're definitely coming back.
For sure. One thing I always love to ask about, you know, any, you know, obviously you guys have been here for 9 years. Do you have any fun, like, taproom stories or anything like that?
Jeez.
I know it's been 9 years.
I mean, probably a lot I can't talk about, but
that's okay.
I mean, I think one of the things, you know, we get these guys crazy. We call them haboobs, but they're like they're not even called. Technically, they're not monsoons, but we call them monsoons, but they're like crazy storms that roll through Arizona, like in the middle of the summer when it's like 110 the next day, like a crazy storm will roll through.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll regularly knock out you know, power poles and stuff like that. But I think we've had people, you know, drive down 24th Street way too fast. And like, we had one person like crash directly into a power pole right in front of our brewery and like, you know, explode the power pole.
Oh, no.
And the person, you know, I think was drunk. They got out and ran away. I mean, there's like stuff like that that happens like all the time. You're like, oh, like this is a good week. Everything's like going well. And then somebody fucking like crashes through like, you know, a power pole right in front of your building. So anyways, that's kind of, you know, it comes with the territory, I guess, of owning a small business. Crazy stuff happens.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of. It's one of those things. I think I've talked to, one of the first episodes I had was with Mike from Unsung Brewing in Anaheim. And he was telling me, he's like, hey, so one day, like, so we had just opened. And then one day I walked up and there was a big old hole on the side of the wall because some car drove like almost through through the building.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, it's like literally, one thing I wasn't expecting is like literally anything and everything can and will happen to you. Yeah. Like, it, like if you can't even think it's going to happen, it will happen. So it's fun stuff.
Yeah. Like you said, the perks of owning a small business.
Yeah. I mean, our new restaurant that we opened down in South Phoenix, I mean, we've just had crazy stuff happen. Just, you know, middle of busy days and, you know, the plumbing is not working, stuff like that. It's like, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy the types of things that happen. But anyways.
I bet. Yeah. So you guys opened a restaurant. What kind of food is it? Like, where was it? Like, you know, kind of bar food or?
Yeah. So we, the restaurant we opened in South Phoenix, it's kind of like a Euro beer hall with a full restaurant. So it's called Sud Hall. We partnered with a chef locally that was nominated for a few James Beard Awards. So,
oh, wow.
He makes really good food. He's kind of the head like kitchen manager guy at this place called Bacanora, which again was nominated for some James Beard Awards. So we were like, hey, we want to open this like German beer hall, but we don't want to be super literal. We want it to be like burgers and fries. So he came up with like a really great like smash burger menu.
Oh, awesome.
So we have like really interesting smash burgers down there. You know, fries, onion rings, all kinds of delicious food, like little snacks that you can have. And our new kitchen manager down there, Jonathan, he's been great. So we do specials now. We have like schnitzels and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, something different. We want to create like places and concepts that kind of stand on their own that are, you know, kind of a unique experience.
Oh, for sure. And that leads me into what I wanted to ask you next is like, what's your favorite kind of like, what's your favorite food to pair with a beer?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say, burgers. I mean,
yeah,
I can't think of a bad time I've had when I've had a beer and a burger. I think that's got to be the classic go-to. I'm also like a nacho fiend, so I think anything with nachos is always good.
I feel like the big ones are always like burgers, tacos, you know, wings, pizza, stuff like that. You can't go wrong with it. But nachos too. I mean, nachos always sound amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm weird in the sense that like when I'm eating, I don't like drinking stuff. So like I'll have like water. But like I want to like drink my beer like on its own, and then I'll eat, and then I'll drink.
Yeah, you know what's fun? Oh gosh, who did I just talked to someone recently, and they said the same thing.
Oh really?
They're not. Yeah. They're like, I don't really like to have a beer while I'm eating.
Yeah, I'll drink really beer after dinner and before dinner, but during dinner,
I get that. I totally get it. But I want to say just, you know, thank you for, you know, being on here with me and being willing to do the show. And I know it was super last minute, but
it's all good. Yeah, thanks for coming by. And hopefully our background noise isn't too crazy.
That's all right.
A little ruckus Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Here. Oh, of course. But, you know, it's crazy. Like, because I always used to think, like, oh, man, if there's any noise, people are going to wig out. But I've gotten so much feedback about people that they tell me that they enjoy background noise, like at a brewery.
It's not too sterile.
Yeah, because it makes them feel like that they're at the brewery. Like while they're at work, they're like, I wish I was, you know, making wish I was there.
They're listening to this as they're like in between conference calls. You know, some job.
Oh, for sure.
I know how that feels. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have any events coming up or anything like
that? I mean, we got Gravy Day tomorrow and then, I don't know. We try not to think too far in the future, but, I don't know. We're doing all kinds of. We got our anniversary coming up, which, you know, in June, which we'll always do, you know, a week of collabs, basically.
Okay.
And then we also, you know, our busy season is basically like now through May.
Yeah.
Like we have spring training. We have the Phoenix Open. So all that stuff's going to start happening in the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get pretty crazy. Like everybody flies here from all the snowy states and hangs out, which is great.
Yeah, I know the Phoenix Open gets pretty crazy, right?
The Phoenix Open gets crazy. Yeah, we're doing a bunch of special beers for the Phoenix Open, which is exciting. But yeah, I mean, we're just rolling with it.
I love it. But I mean, if you guys are going to be doing a bunch of collabs in June, I usually come here in June again. We usually, because when we come out to hang out and watch we like to bet on sports. So we'll bet on like the College World Series, but we always come in June. So
nice.
Going to have to come down and try some of those collabs.
You should go out. There is at the Cardinal Stadium, they have an MGM sports book.
Oh,
which is pretty sweet. It's like a separate building that has like a full bar, full restaurant.
Sounds like the dream.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. But yeah, we have like we always do like literally a week of collaboration releases. Normally it's like Bottle Logic, you know, our friends like Wayfinder, Holy Mountain, guys like that. And we always do various beers. So it's always fun.
If you have Ren House and Bottle Logic on a can, count me in.
Right. Yeah. We've done, I think the last one was like a vanilla stout, obviously, because, you know, Bottle Logic does vanilla stouts very well.
Oh, so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that small little brewery over there.
Yeah. I mean, they've grown up a lot.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
that'd be Bottle Logic.
Yeah.
No, but thank you again, Drew. This has been super fun. And, you know, make sure if you're in the Phoenix area, come on down. It's in off the 202, off of 24th Street.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, come on down.
Literally 2 minutes from the airport,
yep.
I would say.
So come down, have a beer, you know, and maybe Drew will be working behind the bar.
Maybe.
No, but thank you again. This has been super fun for me. And thank you for letting me enjoy your delicious beer.
Of course.
All right, guys. Cheers. You guys stay tuned. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, and we're back. Back at Noble with another What's New at Noble segment. I got Jimmy here with me.
Thank you for coming back again, Mike. It's Chris, fun every time, man.
Oh, yeah. Chris Taylor sitting next to me as well. Yeah. So Jimmy, what do we got? I know you guys got some new ones this week.
Yeah, so we just canned four different, three new ones, one old one that we redid. So we did an IPA. We're starting out with Tigers Are Awesome, which is the follow-up to Giraffes Are Cool, which, you know, we're going down those animal names. And I think every time we do these, we're playing a little bit more with things we haven't used yet. So this one right here that I poured for you guys is really the big thing is this is a dry hop. It's just straight Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Nelson done three ways. So we.
So it was a three way?
It was. You know. <that's okay.
laughs> Sorry, I got you on that one.
I'm just thinking about three tigers.
You know, there you go. Like, there's three tigers going at it.
So this is done with all freestyle stuff, but it's. So freestyle has, and I think I've spoken about this before, like you can choose your type of hop, but from different lots, and the lots that you choose from have different flavor profiles.
Okay.
So like that's kind of the thing we play with as brewers is with hops. It's always the hardest is, you know, everybody loves like Nelson, Sauvignon, or, you know, Citra.
Yeah.
But people, a lot of times you don't understand that there's a whole spectrum of different Citras and a whole spectrum of different Nelsons. And the one you tasted that thought was amazing is probably not the one that, you know, you're going to taste the next time you have Citra, unless it's from the same brewery with the same hop lot, right? So freestyle gives the option to actually choose your lot on the, you know, when you order. So we had right here to choose, and me and Mike spoke about this last week.
It's
kind of where this all comes from. Me over at Mike Cray over at Unsung is that Nelson, when you look at the spectrum, it goes at one spectrum, I'd say it's passion fruit forward. You don't get that white wine dankiness. You get some really heavy passion fruit notes. On the other end, you get that white wine diesel dankness. So what we did this time is we used we use about 3 pounds per barrel of the passion fruit forward one, then layered on top of that with the, you know, the white wine diesel note to give it a little dankness. And on top of that, we threw the Freestyles Keef, which is like just a beautiful product. It's like a little liquid can you throw on top, adds flavor. Just give it kind of Nelson that's not too much. We dried it out so that flavor bites you, then disintegrates immediately. So that okay. every drink is like a fresh palate drink.
Yeah.
Like otherwise, Nelson just gets too overwhelming. But like if you guys drink it, you guys kind of see that it is more, it's not your typical Nelson.
Oh, for sure. Sense. Cheers, boys. Yeah, and I was waiting to drink this one too because I had the, you know, I wanted to wait to do it on the show. It is, that, you know, it's crispy and it's a West Coast too. Then sign me up.
Yeah, no, we're happy with this one. I feel like we're going the right path. Everything we're working on, this Animals line is a little bit new and different for us. Things yeah. that we wanted to do, they just didn't have either access to or just organizational, you know, like just in the back of the house to make sure it all happens the way it wants to happen, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is just a move in the right direction here. I thought Giraffes is pretty cool. I think this kind of gives it like a next notch. And as we go forward with, I think what I was telling you guys earlier, like what, hippos are killer.
Yeah.
And I think the last one we're kind of going towards is Dogs Are Noble.
I love it.
Yeah. I think that one means a lot to everybody in the brewery too. So that'll be a fun one that has to be like over the top, spend too much money on, get yelled at.
And,
but at the end of the day, everyone likes it. So, I mean, this is just, you know, the second in this line that we're having fun with right now.
Oh, dude. And I love that. But this one for sure is it has that, you know, that crispness like in the beginning, but it's super mellow on the back end. Where sometimes you get like a West Coast and it's just like, and don't get me wrong, I love bitter. I love bitterness, but it's just super like this is like the drinkability on this one is killer, brother.
I think what you speak to is exactly what we're trying to avoid, that bitterness that lingers on the back of your palate
and
compounds itself with each sip, right? To the point where it's just overwhelming. Like, and that's exactly what we're trying to avoid with this one. That's why it's lighter at 6.5.
Yeah.
We actually dried it out purposely a bit. So it's, we didn't throw much of grain in it, but it's like the finishing gravity is a lot lower, so a lot less sugar. So that's why the carbonation is so high to kind of balance that all out. But you get that nice punchiness and then it just disintegrates. For sure. But it's not off-putting. It's not like, you know, you just take it again, you get that same experience. But simple, straightforward, but I like it.
Yeah.
What we're trying to make with this.
No, dude, it's delicious. I love this one. I mean, I love Giraffes. I mean, I've already had two of them today. So, but I love this one as well. So, and I love the can artwork. And I can't honestly, I'm super excited to see the rest of them as they come out.
Yeah. You know? No, I think with each one, I think that it's, we're getting that little feedback that it's, would they like it? People like it. It's fun. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's new. It's something different.
Like, yeah.
I think, like, as we go, and the names start getting dialed in more with, like, hippos are killer, just kind of the play on, you know, they're really killer, you know, and also, you know, hey, man, I'm a killer, bro.
If you've seen Jumanji, you know that.
Yeah. yeah, and just, like, building, I think, like, each one will get better. I think that Josh has done such an amazing job with all this. Like, he literally just put our thoughts onto the, you know, the palette there.
For sure.
Yeah, dude, we're stoked on this. Like, this is probably the way I started off with this one, is because, like, we're really happy about this series. It's something new to us. Where all the other Westies were kind of repeats of past, you know, brewers.
Yeah.
Whatnot. And this is the first time we actually kind of, like, for the West Coast at least, set off on our own path.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, making noble again, more or less, you know?
Yeah.
Like, after the pandemic, everything that happened. So,
of course.
Let's go to the next one, boys.
Yeah. So, oh, and one little thing, it'll be a preview for next week, like we kind of talked about, because, you know, we talked about Mike recording with me, you, and Mike, and but I mean, I remember telling you like how, like, I felt like you guys were just like, right now you guys are dialed in and like things are just going up and up and up, like, you know. And I'm sure on every What's New Noble segment I sound this way, and I probably, you know, sound like a broken record, but it's honestly, it's true though. Like, you got, what you guys are doing right now is, you're killing it.
Thank you, man. And you know, it is like, I think Mike was kind of like, if you look at it, like kind of a microcosm of the bigger picture, is that like when you meet people in the industry that you can work with who help you out.
Oh, for sure.
Like that synergy, like as long as there's give and take, there is just so meaningful. So like it's a lot of times here. It's I think. Around, like, we all got our brewing processes dialed in, like things when you think about from the outside looking at brewing, oh, how good of a brewer is this person. But for the most part, all these breweries around here, like, know their system, they've dialed them in, And really now it's about that back end stuff. Like, how do we get more flavor in these beers? Mm-hmm. How do we get like the flavor we're aiming for that the customer wants? That's kind of that like mutual happiness of quality there, right?
Oh, for sure. How do you get it to pop?
Exactly. How do you get it to pop? To, you know, but like at the same time, have the back of the house, like the cellarmen drink it or the brewers drink it and be like, you know, typically like the stereotype is the brewers like lagers, but like, you know, like we like all types of beers.
I mean, oh, of course.
Right. You know,
if it's done well, you'll drink it.
Lagers are just kind of the more safe bet when you're drinking beer.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get sometimes. And like, I think like you taste unsung beers now. Ours are coming up. Like, there's so many good breweries around here, mm-hmm. and it's really just that positive feedback that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, upward spiral of helping each other out here.
And if you guys, and I mean, I mentioned it, well, not to spoil anything for next week, and I don't know if we talked about it on air or off air, but I remember saying that if you guys ever do another, well, I'm sure when you guys do another collab again, I just want to be a fleck on the wall, maybe throw in a hop or two, you know?
Well, dude, I've been talking this up since
I know.
Like, I've literally reached out to multiple people that were thought about, like Ron, about the Welcome to the Gangbang beer.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Which everyone's all about. So,
as long as, that'd be so fun. And
it definitely.
And we throw like we'll hide a little Taproom Podcast logo on the can somewhere. So it's almost like a Where's Waldo.
I mean, I think so. I think that's a necessity there. We'll definitely do that.
But which one are we drinking next?
So we're drinking the new Children of the Wheat, so our Hef. We remade the Hef. The goal here was the other one was we wanted a more clove forward in the first batch, and I felt like we pretty much got that. The issue just was, one, was the body on the last one. And this time we kind of were more particular about the technical processes because the first time when we did this beer, this is one of those beers that, like, this to me is truly a brewer's beer simply because these are processes done in the brewing process where the brewing process for most beers is very like static between styles. I mean, not so much. There's like time changes that happen for certain processes, but like the steps in the process are the same where this beer has like multiple temperature rests for the mashes. Usually you do one rest temperature for a mash when you know, create the oatmeal that actually makes the liquid that makes the beer.
Yeah.
You just do one temperature rest meant to gelatinize the actual sugar on the grain and to create a, like to work with certain enzymes that work at different temperatures to determine whether beer is going to be, you know, fuller bodied or lighter bodied, right? But you're making fermentable sugars. Simple pictures. We're making some fermentables. Well, what we did with this, we take the only malt that I know of that's called what you call under modified, meaning it has been processed, but which means you have to do multiple rests. You don't do just a what's called sacrification or sugar making process. You also do like a protein making process. You do a precursor for flavor making process, so called 4VG or 4-vinyl glycol or whatever it's called to make that clove note. Mm-hmm. So we go through all these processes on the hot side with the yeast we've particularly chosen to, you know, further, you know, emphasize those flavors. But the last time we didn't have body, but I feel like this time we actually have body on the beer. I feel like we're dialing it in. But like this is truly a German classic Bavarian style Hefeweizen.
Yeah. And it's like you're talking about the full body, like that it has a good mouthfeel to it. Mm-hmm. For sure. And it's not like overly heavy. Where like, I mean, at least from when I was a kid, I remember drinking like Pyramid and thinking it was kind of heavy. And this is super, like, it's still light and I feel like it's crushable.
It's like a marshmallow or a cloud in your mouth, almost in a sense. That's why I always get off it when I'm drinking. And I like that. It gives you a different mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. You say that what she said? Well, there you go.
Wow.
It's the one joke of the show. I'm just kidding.
Did we hit our quota?
We hit our quota for jokes on the show. You never paid for drugs. I don't know why I'm thinking of what's the one. It's what's his name from? It's John C. Reilly, but he's supposed to be Johnny Cash. The Ballad of
God.
He's like, you never paid for drugs.
No, Walk the Line's the real one, right?
Yeah, Walk the Line's the real one. And it's the other one. Oh, no, it's Dewey Cox. Dewey Cox. Why don't you ask Bob Dylan why he sounds like Dewey Cox? Classic. I don't know why that popped in my head, but it's when what's his name says, like, yeah, you never paid for drugs. Not once. I had to do it. Sorry. Oh, that's good stuff. There we go.
You guys ready for the candy beers?
Let's do it.
I get in trouble for calling these beers. My taproom people are like, it's not beer, it's seltzer, Jimmy. I'm like,
Yeah, you know, still yeah. brewed. You know, still got to do it the right way. Oh, yeah. The Flamingo.
Flamingo. I think this is the...
Yeah, yeah. I was waiting to try this one, too, so I'm excited.
This is the first one I think I've done since I've been here. I'm trying to think if there's been anyone else that I'm going to make mad now. The first time that anybody outside the actual cellar or the brewer, the brewery side of the company has actually had a hand in. So This is Kelsey from the tap room. Actually came with the idea, and, well, let's just be honest about this one. It was a good idea, and I didn't want to do the work. So we just sourced the ingredients and we figured out what flavor mimic what In-N-Out uses for their pink lemonade and just used that flavor. Gave her the bottle and said, okay, here's the base. Mix it up. Tell me what ratio is right. And she did it all at the front of the house.
Love it.
For a shift. And we used all those numbers. She actually made it with me on the day. There's pictures on the website, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I saw them on Instagram and all that stuff.
And the idea was to make pink lemonade like In-N-Out, and I think she absolutely killed it.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to – I'll throw it on at the end of the episode. I have my little mini mic, so I'm going to have her talk about her baby, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a weird problem. But when I mean her baby, I mean
flamingo. Wow, dude, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for everybody. People are like, what the fuck?
No, but the can's amazing too.
Oh, I love the can.
The can is –
like I can only – like obviously it's always kind of – it's not summer in California right now, but it's always kind of sunny summer in California. Yeah.
But I think this is actually rad for us personally. Like it's like a milestone for us because this is kind of the first beer we've put out that's actually in time for the holidays, like for Valentine's Day at least. So our Valentine's Day beer, and like we've been so disorganized, but overworked. Disorganized because we're so overworked here, like trying to catch up, get things streamlined, get things more efficient. I feel like this is kind of a milestone in a sense of like we have a couple more lined up. We have our chocolate mint stout coming out for St. Patty's Day that's going to be on time, thankfully. But like, this is the first one we've hit a holiday with, and we're stoked on that. Like, it means a lot to us. Just get that.
You get that sweetness, but then you get that sourness to kind of cut through it on the back end. I was going to give you the Bill Clinton, like the little thumbs up, you know, like, thank you guys killed it. But it's like, you guys did great. You guys are awesome.
I don't know what it would be like. I'm kind of scared a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I probably should have mentioned something more, Mike, is what I want to know. probably should have. I might cut this out. Might leave it in. Who knows? But I was, you know, it's like.
This is actually really good.
I'm not going to do the Bill Clinton anymore.
This is dangerous.
No, this is super dangerous.
It's good. I don't drink it.
Yeah, I'm going to. And what's the percentage on this one?
6.9.
Of course it is. Oh, it's a sexy 6.9.
We even made sure it's that, like, literally, 6.9. Like, you can check it. It's 6.9. Right. Go punch these cans for us somewhere. Yeah.
It's a sexy 6.9. That wasn't the best one. The other one was better earlier.
It's getting more creeped out over here.
Yeah. It's like, I knew you'd be back. All right, I'm going to stop now. Sorry,
no, everybody listening. Continue, man. Continue.
Keep it going. I used to be able to do a pretty good Bill, but now, yeah, like I said, it's probably not a good idea to do a Bill impression.
No, this one, I told you guys earlier, is we actually, like, used another product in here, like a souring product that actually kind of made this all kind of come together. So it's not just your typical seltzer.
No, not at all.
It's not. It's that sour note in the end is something extra we added that I'm pretty stoked on that we're going to keep on adding. I might say what it is one day, but not right now. That's
no,
for sure.
that's awesome because, like, what I would get, like, you know what it almost, yeah, oh, because like you said, like, was it like a lemon? Almost reminds me of like a Lemon Up, but I would get like the Sprite and the pink lemonade.
Yeah, dude, that's a great, great description of it right there. That is it. Which is cool because, like, you try to place these things, right?
Yeah.
And you hope someone doesn't place it as, like, you know, pizza sauce has been in a trash can for a day.
Yeah.
Which is one of our famous ones here. Yeah. Noble. But yeah, this one, like, yeah, I'm stoked on it. We're going to make it again. God, I just don't hope she doesn't get a big head on me.
Oh, yeah. No, she's never going to look. So scary, bro. She'd be like, I killed it on my first try. She's like, what have you done lately?
She already put, like, the post up on her Instagram, entering my brewer's face. And I was
I saw that.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I was like, yep. Well. I was like, well, Jimmy's gonna be like, all right, well, she's got that big head.
The worst part is she already like lined up two other ones that I was telling you guys about earlier. They're like hit me like I'm like they're like nail on the head. Like, okay, we got an Easter beer now.
Yeah.
And we got like something like a summer spritzer here.
Yeah. So hit me baby one more time.
Oh God, right?
Jesus. Yeah.
Disasters. Yeah. So this last one I'm pouring is probably like so. We do the tiki's, and we've talked about tiki's on here before,
oh, for sure.
You know, of course. But this is kind of the one we did that was done specifically for Jeff Granito, who's a very, very, very famous, if not the most famous tiki artist in the game, along with Shag and Tiki Tony, who's done all our artwork, who's been so amazing to us. But he asked us personally to make a zombie because that's his favorite tiki drink. And
awesome.
To be frank, I think it's like between me, Paul, Josh, and Cam. I know this is Cam's favorite tiki drink too. And Paul and me both love it to death. I know we all love it. Like, we all have our differences in terms of favorite. But, like, so this was a disaster. Let me say, it's good. It's our take on it. But, like, this is the most complex tiki drink we've ever done. And usually I do 1 5-gallon R&D batch and I hit it by that one. This one I did 2 R&D batches. They both were way off the mark. And it got to the point where it's just too close. And we just kind of, we just got to do this massive batch of zombie seltzer. And so it was kind of a game of just pushing a little bit more passion fruit at it, because that was Stowaway really talked us through it. And then on Tuesday we went in there and had it and realized how passion fruit guava forward theirs was, and we just kind of manipulated it. But like, I feel like we pulled it off, and I feel like the guys are saying like, this is, everyone's stoked on it, but it's our own take on it. So you get a little bit of that cinnamon note. It's already in the zombie.
Yeah.
And the point of the cinnamon is kind of to be an under note to the passion fruit and the guava, if you put guava in it. But I think we pushed it a little bit more just to cut through some of the more harsh notes of our alcohol in
here.
Okay.
Let's jump on in.
But I think you just...
You don't have to talk so low, Christopher.
Oh. But it balances out.
Yeah, I think I still had a little bit of the pink lemonade, so going for a second one
here. Did I do them in the wrong order? I think I did them in the wrong order here.
Nah, it's all good.
I went from a 6.9% to an 11. No, this is 9.5.
I was going to say 11. Holy shit.
No, 9.5. And you feel that when it hits you, too.
Oh, yeah.
So we recirced. This is the first time we actually really recirced on spirals. So this is oak 2 on rum spirals to really give it like that rum flavor. So really what you're tasting here, like, so we have flamingo that's like candy, right? Here we're really just trying to recreate the cocktail in beer form.
Yeah.
That's why you get that harshness. You get that wood note. You get the dark wood note in there. It's the rum note. You get that balance. And cinnamon, the passion fruit guava really comes in behind there too. The passion fruit guava builds on the cinnamon. It's an extremely complex, like, seltzer. That's why the two failures came about, is because we're putting lime, we're putting pomegranate, we're putting cinnamon, we're putting passion fruit, we're putting guava, we're putting a rum, something that approximates a rum flavor, all together balanced in some way, shape, or form to create this. And I think, I mean, personally, this is kind of like probably the best thing we'll ever do with the tiki seltzers, I think.
Yeah.
Just from and this is more of a connoisseur standpoint, I feel, like for a cocktail standpoint, like some of the other ones, like Watch Me Whip, are more towards flamingo kind of thing. Like some of the earlier ones, like I want to say Shrunken Skull, Norwegian Paralysis, and then Painkiller.
Yeah.
We're more candy, where this is like more like Jet Pilot, where we did the Jet Pilot. And this is much more like, I think with the tiki drinks, what you get is you get this blend between, you get spice notes, which are more like, I'd say something like sweet, like umami kind of stuff. Then you get the bitter notes, the bitter taste, and you get the sweet taste. And this is kind of the first time where we've tried to balance bitter, sweet, umami against, what was the last one? Spice, like the spice note, that savory note too.
Yeah.
Like this is like every taste you can imagine in a single drink, which is why I think a lot of people like it. But you got to have like that palate for it. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like too, the, like when you have, like when you're doing something like this, like I feel like, cause it's, I'm sure, I mean, I'm not really, obviously I'm not familiar with like all the tiki stuff, but like when you have something as complex as like like the lines that you guys have, although like all the different like the tiki drinks, like I can only imagine. Well, when I say complex, I mean like how complex it is for you guys to be able to figure out to try to dial in that recipe or to make it taste like. If you're at a tiki bar, you want to taste a drink like this, and then but for you guys having to upscale it this way, I can only imagine what like the like how like the tough that would have been.
I think like the way I look at it is kind of more from a one like from mathematics perspective. Complexity is like, you know, like butterfly and a hurricane, kind of like,
yeah,
when you go from two to three, you add so much complexity to something,
yeah,
like, and then you're dealing with like taste, so taste being like not flavors but like bitterness, sweetness, like saltiness, like umami, like savoriness. Like, and then you add a flavor component to it, the complexity just gets to the point where it's kind of, I guess the best way to put it is when you do it big, scaling it up, like typically, yeah, when I do these seltzers, I want 2 to 3 ingredients max. I want maybe 2 that combine for a flavor aspect and maybe 1 that balances sweetness against bitterness or some kind of spice or whatever. But this is like 7 ingredients, trying to balance them all, and then you scale them up and it becomes a game of, okay, we knew we weren't going to hit it first blush. Like when we scaled it up, we knew we were going to have to add a little bit more. So it was always this game right now of adding a little bit more, adding a little bit more. It's always, yeah, passion fruit, passion fruit, passion fruit, more passion fruit.
Yeah.
More passion fruit. But I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, like I think we did our own version on it, but I don't think anyone, this is something you get as a zombie at a lot of places. I think, yeah, when you go, we figured that when you go to get a cocktail, the same cocktail, maybe from the same place, or get a different version of it every time.
Yeah.
Like, we were trying to hit something on the head that was impossible.
Yeah. Here. Well, and every bartender, when you go to a place, like, they're not going to make the drink exactly the same way. It might be a different bartender.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, yeah, so that's another thing we learned. Like, kind of, it was a learning process for us because we never put so much time between all four of us into one. Like, I think we've never focused so hard on something before.
That's awesome.
And so, I mean, I feel like what we came out with, from the standpoint of the market we're trying to accommodate right now, the tiki market, we hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, the bigger market, we're starting to see that we're starting to compartmentalize ourselves in who we're approaching. And, you know, like, so it's kind of this game now of, like, how far do we go? Like, we need to pull back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the pinnacle of complexity we're ever going to hit here on these, I feel.
Oh, yeah. And well, you know what? I was actually talking with my brother about it the other day about your guys' tiki seltzers, and I was like, you're gonna see in an influx of like other people trying to like seeing your stuff, and then like, all right, well, we need to try to replicate that. I mean, I almost compare it to like college football to the NFL, where I feel like if it works in college football, the NFL is kind of like a copycat league, mm-hmm, and they try to, you know, like, oh, okay, well, this worked in college, it should work in the pros. And it's been that way for, I don't know, for forever, it feels like. But I mean, when you find that thing, like you guys are dialing it in, and every time it's like, every time I think it's like, oh, this is amazing, like you put out another batch of something and I'm like, oh fuck, well, it's better than it was last time.
Well, I mean, you see that with like giraffes and to, like that's all the game is, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, well, like you evolve, yeah, or die. Evolve or die is the, exactly, best way. Like my brewmaster Aaron Justice at Ballast Point would say it to, yeah, us, like when I was working at Ballast Point, is evolve or die. Like, yeah, if you make a series like this, if then the you know, the subsequent one doesn't surpass the prior one in some way, shape or form, like you've kind of either just like hit middling ground where you're like plateauing, or you've starting to like go down and you need to readjust, oh, yeah, and like simplify things probably because you're fucking up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's it. It's like, yeah, well, we talked about it last day. I said, get busy living or get busy dying. We talked about Shawshank.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like, and to talk about next week, to plug next week, Jimmy was on, Mike Ray was on. It was a blast. I might have left twice. Only for a couple of minutes, because I had to go pee really bad. I mean, I had to piss, we'll just say that. I had to piss, and then I had to go get the beer tender. Super nice. I think Audrey, I think her name was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She came and did a video of us recording and stuff like that, so I got some good stuff. But it was a blast last week.
That was amazing. I mean, Tigers came out of that podcast.
Yeah.
Literally on the spot. Like, I knew what I was doing, but he just put, like, words into, like, action for me.
Yeah.
It was rad.
It, well, In the intro for this week's episode, I was talking about, like, it just reminded me of like a brewer's roundtable, and, you know, me being a fly on the wall and stuff like that. And it was just, I know I said that earlier, but I'm saying it again because that's how it felt. Like, it was just so fun to just listen to you guys and, like, to talk about, like, everything and, like, you know, like the entire process, whether it was before we started recording or, you know, then we ended and then I know everybody had kind of had to leave. But it was like, I was so like immersed is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know. I think the thing about Mike is just how, for an owner, knowledgeable and involved in the process of brewing and flavor making, he is
so much knowledge.
Literally, he just absorbs so much knowledge from so many amazing people in the community, and he's such a source of information.
Yeah.
Like me and him, like, I love talking with him and exchanging like ideas, information, because like he's just one of the best at that, unquestionably one of the best I've ever met at that.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted him to be on, because he was on episode one, so I wanted him to be on 52. But and when him and I were talking, but he's like, do you think you could get Jimmy to be on? I was like, of course I could. I mean, I'll talk to Jimmy. And it was just a blast.
Yeah, we have great conversations, me and Mike. I still remember the first time I met him in Native Son, and we sat there and talked for, gosh, I think it was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it, like, I think he got in trouble from I was his like wife or something.
Where oh yeah, we talked about that before we were recording.
he's next to me. We're sitting down, just nerding out on beer, like the biggest idiots in the world. It's so funny.
No, it was great. And so thanks for being on today,
Jimmy. Oh, dude, thank you for having me. I enjoy this more every time I'm on here.
Yeah,
like it's just like my normal Saturday now.
Yeah. And then so for next week's episode, like I said, it's gonna be the noble and unsung episode, but we're gonna call that episode 2 Mics, 1 Jimmy.
Ooh.
So
I'm the cup.
Yeah. Give me a Jimmy sandwich, light on the Jimmy.
Did we go over the quota right there? I feel like we might have gone over the quota right there.
All right. I got to think of a quote to finish the episode. I wasn't saying you never, but I don't want to use the same quote. You know what? I got one. It's popular. Did you ever see Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell? Like, yeah. He says, if you don't make it, it's your own damn fault. That's a bitch slap of truth right there. Cheers to that.